Welcome to Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and explore ways to help students and teachers thrive. Thank you for tuning into this episode, Shaping the Future, How Sarasota Schools Are Planning for Tomorrow. This has been a time of rapid change in education. In Florida and in Sarasota County, at times it's hard to keep up with policy, mandates, proposals, and impacts. So we invited Dr. Brandon Johnson back. In season one, Dr. Johnson talked about leadership in education, what makes a good leader, and how education has evolved in the past 20 years. In his new role as Chief of Strategic Innovation for Sarasota County Schools, he's a knowledgeable and timely guest here to share recent updates and what's happening in local education today.
Well, Brandon Johnson, it is such a pleasure to have you back on our podcast. And now you are the Chief of Strategic Innovation for Sarasota County School District, which is a huge responsibility. And so, first of all, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
It's always great being able to chat with you and learn more. And I have to say, for our listeners, just recently, Brandon and I were with a host of other folks for the Teacher of the Year celebration. And I was very struck when we entered into McIntosh Middle School, the roar of students who just cheered for you when they saw you. And so you do have to give a little backstory about that, because that was inspiring.
You're embarrassing me. No, I previously was the chief of middle schools and supported McIntosh and their principal, Mr. Larabor, and just had a great relationship with that school and those students. And I walked in and they really were cheering for everyone, Jennifer, but I did acknowledge the kids.
You pumped the crowd.
Yes, I wanted to make sure that they knew we appreciated their support. And they were unbelievable cheering on their teacher.
It's always fun just to see that. But I have to say, and I wasn't trying to embarrass you or anything, you absolutely have a heart for kids. And that was evident. It really was. So I just appreciate that. So, okay. We're sitting here in the midst of great leadership from Sarasota County Schools. We've got a visionary superintendent. We've got a strong cabinet. And we've got a very supportive school board. The wind is at your back, so to speak. And yet we're in a changing educational landscape, which kind of kicks the brakes in a little bit and creates a stronger focus of how do you actually realize that vision. So can you kind of play out for us and describe to our listeners how you all are viewing the educational landscape here in Sarasota County Schools?
I will start with really the superintendent strategic plan. This is now going on its third year. And for some reason, I think he kind of saw this coming, because if you think about my role, Chief of Strategic Innovation, it was announced all the way back in the summer. And so there was this point where I think we knew the winds were changing of school choice, right? Vouchers, Hope Charters, just things that we knew were coming down the pike. And I think we kind of sat down and had the discussion on how do we best ensure that we're positioned to not only do well, but to continue to do well, right? As an A-rated district, I think, now, what are we, 15 years somewhere?
Oh, more lives. Than that. Maybe goodness more than gracious, that. Yeah.
And I think because of that, not only what, like you said, our strong cabinet, but the leadership and the focus of our superintendent has set us up to be in a pretty good place to ensure that not only we retain our students, but we give parents opportunities and choices to make sure that they're still selecting Sarasota County Schools.
Yeah, that's terrific. And I know Superintendent Connor, I've heard him speak many times that he is supportive of school choice, and he really does want to make sure families have the ability to choose. And he wants to make sure the families are choosing Sarasota County Schools.
That's true.
So to that end, can you kind of give us a peek around some of the things you all are looking at doing to help not only maintain your competitiveness, mm-hmm. but to actually be an attractive draw for even more students to have their education with our public school system?
So I'll do a quick plug. If you go on the Sarasota County Schools website, the board work session from November 4th is up there, Jennifer, for our future focus strategic initiatives. Did a wonderful presentation by Mr. Connor that, of course, was supported by myself and Deputy Superintendent Mrs. O'Day. But with that being said, what we actually really are working through first is we're converting four elementary schools into K-8s. So Wilkinson Elementary, Alta Vista, Brentwood and Gulfgate Elementary will now be rolling up to K-6 next year, K-7 the following year, and then K-8. And then the big one is really reimagining Brookside. Brookside is a wonderful school, but we recognize that not only magnet, based on a survey that we did put out to parents, robotics, AI, STEAM, it really is what our parents were asking for. It was rated number one in our survey. And that was part of it, putting out there just because we knew middle schools were not as attractive as they needed to be.
I think that's always, all families deal with that. So that's not unlike, just to put it out there, this was not unlike that. But again, y'all were super proactive about
it. Correct. And community meetings, the support of the board, like you talked about. And then really in the end, when we put it forth, really supportive from the community as well. Just understanding that not only we want to retain our kids, but we recognize that if you don't make changes and give parents choices, then we put ourselves in a disadvantageous situation that where maybe they're going somewhere else when we know we have wonderful schools.
Right. And the K-8 model is not new to Sarasota County Schools. So you are expanding it. So help our listeners understand kind of what that K-8 model, why is there a draw and why is it so effective?
Well, I'll start with, we of course had Laurel Nokomis School for quite a few years. We just opened up this year Sky Ranch School, another K-8 that's rolling up K-6. And this is based on feedback of having been the executive director of elementary ed and chief of middle schools. Parents, when they put their kid in kindergarten, if you could tell them that they could stay there all the way for what technically is the next 9 years, right, include kindergarten, and you're enjoying your experience, why would you not stay? Your data supports it. If you look at Laurel Nokomis, students retain their information better. They have that relationship in that climate and culture that they're already comfortable with, right, in that environment, and not having to change that out as they transition to middle school is that same feeling of I'm right back where I've always been, right? I've been here since kindergarten to fifth grade, just a little bit more comfortable with students. That doesn't mean, and you know this, we're not getting rid of our traditional middle schools. Right. So I do want to put that out there, but we are reimagining them, making sure that they're smaller and that there are more choices within that framework, like micro learning communities for parents. So just making sure they have both options so that at the end of the day, whatever your child is more comfortable with and your family is, you then have that choice.
So what I'm hearing from you is that really trying to change the perception that the public schools is not a one size fits all.
Great point.
And that it actually does have a lot of custom options to go into, like, let's take McIntosh Middle School, for example, which we just mentioned at the beginning. That's going to maintain a 6-8 kind of traditional middle school model.
Correct.
However, it has some unique features to it. So can you share kind of what something like that would offer to students?
Great point. So McIntosh is a perfect example of, yes, traditional middle school, but they have their Hawks program for gifted and talented. They have their marine science. They have agriculture. They're right next to the farm. Like there are opportunities that we are leveraging at McIntosh to ensure parents and students who pick that school also feel something special when they walk on that campus. Not to mention, it'll be smaller next year.
Yes.
So even enrollment on purpose is changing because we are changing into K-8s of some of the feeder patterns. It gives us the opportunity to be a little bit more specific with enrollment at McIntosh as well.
So those smaller communities actually is another draw, an attractive feature. So I could see where families also would choose a K-8 model going back to what you all are expanding, because just simply families are busy and being able to drop off multiple kids, that's hard.
I would agree.
Oh my goodness. Any of you who've been parents have known you're the carpool champion, you know, kind of running through the community. And so even being able to have your kids at one place, being able to participate as an active parent, it just affords a little bit more seamless opportunity for
Great
that.
Point. Great
yeah.
Point.
I just think that's really terrific. And then you did mention the farm, and I do want to hold on that because you said that kind of like it, you know, it's a farm, but that's a big deal. Could you kind of share a little bit about what the farm offers the kids at McIntosh?
So here's what I'll tell you, Ken. I won't give everything away. So the Superintendent Connor,
is this all top secret?
Yes, this is. So be on the lookout for the next what do we call it? It's Mr. Connor's Trading Spaces.
Yes.
So Mr. Connor, Superintendent, in case I know everyone knows, will be trading spaces with Kate at the farm.
Oh, how fun is that?
It will give everyone the opportunity to actually see not only how we utilize the farm, but also conversation about how we're leveraging McIntosh as well with the farm.
Do you know if he wore overalls for it?
It is coming up. It hasn't happened yet. That's the good thing.
So okay, here we go. Yes. Maybe. That's actually
true. I won't share this. And hopefully there was conversation about what he should wear and what maybe he shouldn't wear. So
yeah.
That is.
Yeah. Although so I we'll should probably out. Say dungarees. I don't know. Again, I'm not a farmer.
I'm going to be as surprised as you are when he decides.
It's going to be great. And where can people see this? This is on your website. Yes, you all show these videos.
Yes, it is. It is on our website. Thank you for that, Jennifer. On our website. And there are other trading spaces that he's done. As a teacher, I think cafeteria monitor, just a lot of things to really help people understand what happens in school. If the last time you were really in school was when you were a student, you don't necessarily know all the different jobs that we have, and then all the different opportunities as well.
Yes, that's so true. Now, staying with the vision of everything, kind of illuminate for us what's happening at Brookside Middle, because that is very significant and that's a big undertaking. So share what's in store there. What's being imagined?
So what's being imagined? We actually have a meeting with USF actually in a couple of weeks, and they are aware of this, that we are looking at partnering with them with not only their cybersecurity and AI, which they are, of course, doing in Tampa, helping us to ensure that not only that the spaces are appropriate, that we have the materials we need. So that's first and foremost. I actually have a meeting today with Mrs. O'Day as well as Mr. Connor for gaming. So esports, we have that meeting later on this afternoon. From West Palm Beach, they already do K-12. So that will be one of the tracks that we also use for Brookside. So not only the AI cybersecurity, also the opportunity for gaming as well.
Okay, when you mentioned gaming, so we do share something in common, and that is Leadership Florida, which a lot of folks here may be familiar with. And if not, we have a podcast that speaks about it, so we can reference you all to another episode. But is that Julius that's coming?
Good. Yes, it is. Yes, he
that
is.
That is impressive.
Yes, it is.
I really, yeah. So go Julius, if you're listening to this. They sure do.
Really do.
Okay, so with this future-focused strategic initiative you've got going on, I do think that to your point, you had mentioned, you know, Superintendent Connor really had this vision beforehand. Mm-hmm. So what tea leaves is he reading? Because I do think that there are other districts out there right now that, for instance, with the Schools of Hope initiative, mm-hmm. not the initiative, but the legislation that came across, many school districts are receiving notices of potential charter schools that want to come in and leverage that piece of legislation to come in. And so how are you all standing out among the other districts because of this future-focused initiative?
No, great question. Let me start with the tea leaves you talked about. Mm-hmm. I think part of that is relationships that he has with other superintendents, discussion, leaning on his cabinet, leaning on Chris Parento, our supervisor of government affairs, who plays, let's just be honest, a major role in mm-hmm. maybe what's coming down the pipe. But then after that, actually doing something about it, right? It's one thing to have the vision and a mission. It's one thing to actually put it into action. And the first thing he did was meet with us as a cabinet and laid out a plan and how we're going to ensure that not only we're the number one choice, but then also how are we going to utilize our space on our campuses, knowing that that was already an issue even before any of this legislation came down. He charged me and a team to really get into schools, walk facilities, look at how we're utilizing our space, look at programming, right? How do we ensure that programming matches the schools? And then really put together a plan with his kind of leading that. And you've seen it, he's already presented it. But behind the scenes, that was a lot of work, a lot of work from the entire team, but really starting with him having that vision of not only, let's be fair, my own position, and that we needed something to make sure that we can support it with the Deputy Superintendent, Mrs. O'Day, and ensuring that we all were following through. And so that board work session really helped everyone understand where we are. But now the next steps is ensuring that we follow through and make sure that we get parents what they want.
I think just listening to you share all this, not only does it help restore confidence, not just in me, but I think it restores confidence in many of our community members, because I do think that systemically public school systems are not known for innovation. They're not known for acceleration and rapid fire prototyping. But because of this increased threat, I think that actually has helped to accelerate, as demonstrated by a 5-0 vote from the school board
yes.
in support of this future focus initiative. So I think it's actually created an accelerant for you all. Would you agree with that?
I would. And to be fair, the superintendent even said it, right? It said we were already working towards this and putting this into action, but it 100% accelerated it. It let us know that, okay, we had a plan that, if you think about it, 3 years ago that he was already laying out, and all of a sudden it was, okay, we need to put this into action now. We're already moving forward. Let's ensure that we do everything in our power to ensure that we keep our public schools and we're not co-locating.
Yeah. And then how do you all strike the balance of the capacity to innovate and the responsibility to improve student outcomes and leaning on that? How do you all balance that?
I will tell you, one, we balance it by every Monday at cabinet, always ensuring that we're focused on student achievement. That's always the top of the list when we lay anything out during cabinet. The second part is it's why everyone has a different job, to be very fair, Jennifer, right? We have a chief of secondary with an executive director, chief of elementary. They come in on the back end to kind of talk through what it is that maybe Mr. Connor's put out there, but their focus is to be in schools, impact reviews, walking campuses, and ensure that our student achievement is staying where it needs to be. And then my job is really to support Mr. Connor, Mrs. O'Day, in the reimagining and repurposing schools and what that looks like.
That's great. So what feeds you? Where are you getting your, and I don't mean physically, because as you all can hear, Brandon is rapid fire too. Like, he moves. There is no slowing of Brandon Johnson. We all know that, Dr. Brandon Johnson.
You don't need to say that.
No, it's true. Oh, and you run faster than anybody. I do know that. But where are you getting your ideas from and the strategies and the things to help you be successful in your role?
Great question. One, it's a team effort. I'm very fortunate that I support 6 departments. And within that, each of them has a lead that we really do sit down at the table and think about ideas and what can we do to innovate. That's one piece of, but really the other piece is, let's be very fair, Superintendent Connor and Mrs. O'Day, we have a meeting with just the 3 of us to really talk through what ideas that he has, she has, maybe that I'm thinking of, that people have already spoken to me about. And then, to be very fair, Jennifer, what makes the most sense at that particular school? And at the end of the day, you know, I say this humbly, my job is just to support. At the end of the day, the superintendent has to make that final decision, right, of kind of where we want to land depending on what school. But all those ideas are thrown in. We get ideas, of course, from community. We put out a survey, right? We do all these things to ensure that we're putting our best foot forward. But for me, my energy comes from knowing that I have value, that I have a purpose in this work that I'm doing, and I see it. Right. I mean, I'm having this podcast interview with you and I love the energy because I know the work that I do to try to support the superintendent and Mrs. O'Day. And I also see the outcomes.
Yeah, I think that's really rewarding. So when you talk about the Future Focused Initiative, mm-hmm. you unveiled with us today a K-8 model, the farm, which again, guys, you have to watch the trading spaces for that. And then Brookside Middle.
Yes.
What else do y'all have in your back pocket that's going to be unveiled? What else is out there?
You'll have to have me on next season.
That was a good deflection. That was classic. No, that was really good. Well, I can say, though, that just having had the opportunity to work with Superintendent Terry Connor, certainly I've worked with you for many years. I think you all are a recipe for success.
You've got
a lot that is moving forward, and there's a lot of promise actually for Sarasota County Schools. So we're, from our vantage point, you know, being the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, just trying to be a partner, you know, in any whatever way we can. It is really fun to see this accelerant just move forward, because the innovation has needed to be there, and it's just great to see you all implementing these outstanding ideas. So
thank you.
Best wishes as you.
No, thank you, Jennifer.
Onward. Well, is there anything else that we didn't cover today? Because listeners, clearly he's giving teasers that we have to stay tuned for more. So I don't know if he's going to share anything else, but is there anything I didn't ask you that maybe we need to cover?
Well, I will say one, I appreciate you guys in the Education Foundation. I don't think people realize this, all the way back Lamarck. And if I'm not mistaken, that's probably around 15 years now.
Yeah.
Somewhere along those lines, like 12 to 15 years.
And you're only 18, right?
I wish. But I do. I truly, this is from me. I appreciate the support and everything you guys do for our kids and our school district. So thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. Gosh, that's great. Well, listeners, this was a fast, rapid fire because, again, Brandon, he's got places to go and people to see and things to do. We're making change. So, yes. Brandon, we're just so happy that you were able to sit still with us for just a few minutes so we could learn. And we did learn a lot. And I just, again, want to encourage the listeners to recognize that there is absolutely, if there's schools of hope, know that the hope is actually in Sarasota County Schools. That's where it is. That's what's happening. And there's just a lot of promise in front of us. So on behalf of the Education Foundation, thank you, Brandon, for everything you do. Listeners, if you want to learn more about what's happening with Sarasota County Schools, and I'm sure there's listeners outside of Sarasota County that is very curious because they've got game on happening here. Check them out at sarasotacountyschools.net for all of their information. And as always, you can learn more about the Education Foundation through our website at edfoundationsrq.org. So thank you all so much for tuning into today's Education Conversations. Brandon, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll have you again and again and again because we've got to keep getting more. Thank you all so much for always tuning into our Education Conversations, and be sure to check out our other episodes wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. So for now, Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.